Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Suspicious package filled with fake dynamite forced evacuations at and around Pensacola State College today. Pensacola police believe they were training devices, but the police department's explosive ordnance disposal team came out, inspected the package, and gave the all clear shortly after.
They looked into it further and found out that these are inert devices that are probably used for training for the military, for EOD, things like that. So they're training devices. They were not dangerous at all. They just looked that way.
Mildred, have you seen my bag of fake dynamite anywhere around here? Because I swear I had it with me when I came home from work. And, I mean, I made that stop by WSRE, and I guess I must have just set it down on... How does a bag full of fake dynamite wind up at WSRE? Like, that's a weird story. And we still don't know. But I'm always thinking, like, if you're the person who finds the bag, everybody has a little bit different reaction to bags in public places. I lived in England for just long enough to have internalized the don't touch it. You know, like, as you get on the tube and there's a bag, and call the cops and get out. You know, that's what you do because they had real terrorist attacks. And, you know, going back to the Unabomber and stuff like that, I still have some weird ideas about, hey, there's a bag of no, because you can die. But, you know, other people would be like, oh, it's a backpack. Let's look inside and see what the ID says, right? Because that's a normal human reaction. I'd like to help and get this back to its owner. I'm leaving it. I'll go tell somebody. I'm not interested in that at all. But, yeah, how does a bag of fake dynamite wind up at WSRE? That's the story, right? We don't know. But I did yesterday. We're having we were out to lunch. It's my wife's 50th birthday today. Happy birthday, dear. I know. I keep making fun of her now. She's officially old, you know, second half of your life. All of that stuff. Of course, she returned the favor. She did. I got Jonathan and John Peacock are here in studio. They're not really getting ready to be on the air, but they're laughing because I know, Jonathan, you'll appreciate this. Yesterday we go to Chili's and, you know, we're ordering food because that's one of her favorite places to go for food. And we get all done and my wife says, hey, I have a question to the waitress, who was awesome. She says, what's your age cutoff for a senior citizen benefit? And I was like, no, you did not, because I'm 55. And she's 50. So she's turning 50. She's the one that's getting notably old. And she's like, when do you get a senior citizen? She says, 55, and looks at me and says, well, honey. Like, first time ever. First time. So, yeah, I got $5 off. It was great. Anyway, so the reason I mentioned the lunch is we're sitting there getting these texts from Mike Wood about, hey, there's a suspicious package. Hey, it's a fake dynamite. Hey, we moved the perimeter back. Hey, it's all clear. But the place was a big deal yesterday. And when you don't know, you got to treat it like it's dangerous. Same thing for the downtown shooting, the Starbucks. The officer who, by the way, the officer was on duty at the Starbucks when somebody asked him about this other person. And, you know, they got into a fracas and, you know, the gun was drawn somehow or other. It's all a little bit murky right now what happened, but thank God nobody was killed. That's good news. But yeah, a lot of weird stuff happened yesterday with PPD, but the bomb one is the one that I'm the most befuddled by. What is fake dynamite anyway? Is it like sawdust, dirt? Is it who? Again, I just have questions. I have lots of questions. Does it have a little, you know, pocket watch attached to the outside? I want to see the picture of the device. What are we dealing with here? And again, some guy just, you know, oh, left my backpack somewhere. I don't know what happened to it. 814. I swear I have my fake dynamite with me when I left the office. What, John? I don't do the voices a lot. But.
No, but you do. But they're over here, Wile E. Coyote.
It's Wile E. Coyote's bag. Yeah. Of course, for him, it wouldn't be fake dynamite. It'd be real dynamite that works very, you know, counterproductively, right? That would blow him up when he wants to blow up the Roadrunner. All right, I don't know how all that happened, but here we are. But I couldn't get a hold of Julio today, so no movie reviews. Sorry about that. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. The Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. Why did Hugo Chavez get canceled? And why is Toucan Sam and Lucky the Leprechaun in the Transgressors? You'll find out next. John Pickens, traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. I-10, I-110, everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru Hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Cesar Chavez. I know this one is painful to talk about, but we must always face cancellation with a brave face and a stiff upper lip. Remember what your earliest childhood lessons taught you. There is joy in cancellation because the costlier the loss, the more purifying the virtue signal becomes. And we must always let our virtue signal light shine strong and bright. Don't put it under a bushel. Putting the joy of self-righteousness over everything else. In this case, despite all his work to improve the plight of the agricultural worker, the undocumented, and the humanity of our Hispanic brethren, sistren, and otherin, it has recently come to light that Cesar Chavez was a very bad person who repeatedly sexually abused the women he was tasked with protecting. As our purest of pure scripture writers at the New York Times, Manny Fernandez and Sarah Huertas, explained, several women have now verified that in the 1970s, Chavez sexually abused them when they were underage and he was in the 40s and the height of his power and his influence in the United Farm Workers. Interviews with more than 60 people, plus records, emails, photos, and meeting minutes indicate that the pattern was far more widespread than even what the first two women to come forward, Anna Mergula and Deborah Rojas, have said. Dolores Huerta, a longtime ally of Chavez's, says she was raped by him in 1993 and fathered two of her children. And it appears that the union covered this up for years in order to protect their power and his legacy in the immigrant and labor movements. The UFW now has said that the allegations are shocking, indefensible, and being taken seriously, even as they are canceling all Cesar Chavez Day activities next week this year. But this is just another reminder that men are the problem and cannot be trusted. Even when they seem to be doing good, 15th wave feminism teaches that they are only doing it to appear good and to gain power, which they'll always abuse. The only men whom we haven't dethroned in this way are the ones whose sins simply haven't yet been uncovered. So what should we do now? First, let's recognize how swiftly the woke community is acting to reshape our world in the wake of these new disclosures. Parents of students at Cesar Chavez Dual Spanish Immersion School in Hyattsville, Maryland, are already pushing to change the name of the school. Leaders in the Santa Ana United School District have acted even faster, covering up the public-facing signage at Cesar Chavez High School as they begin the formal process of considering a new name. Cesar Chavez Day organizers in Grand Junction, Colorado, have renamed the event as Si Se Puede Celebration, And the California Assembly has already passed an emergency bill to rename the activist's birthday March 31st from Cesar Chavez Day to Farm Workers Day. And all we can say is scrub, baby, scrub. Disavow, rename, unbrand, cover over, and pretend he never existed. There's nothing like deconsecrating a hero, and fast, that proves our loyalty to the basic principles of our faith and the holy sacrament of swift, decisive, comprehensive cancellation. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to take a moment to celebrate Target for helping lead the way on food purity and dietary purification, one of our top 87 most important sacraments. Target recently announced that they would no longer sell breakfast cereals that contain synthetic colors such as red dye number 40, yellow 5 and 6, blue 1 and 2, and green 3. This means that several highly popular children's cereals will be removed from the shelves, including Apple Jacks, where the only apple is in the name, Fruit Loops, which legally have to be spelled F-R-O-O-T to avoid confusing people into thinking they contain any actual fruit, Lucky Charms, there's nothing lucky about diabetes, and Cap'n Crunch, often inaccurately referred to as Captain Crunch, but if you read the label, it's clearly Cap'n Crunch, a marketing decision that stems from the 1975 scandal and the revelations that Horatio Magellan Crunch was never actually in the Navy and hadn't even risen above the rank of third mate on the SS Guppy, the ship he claims to have skippered. In any case, this is all wonderful news, as these so-called breakfast cereals not only contain the aforementioned artificial colorings, but of course, they are the very embodiment of everything that's wrong with the diet of American children. Sugar-centric, highly processed, low in fiber, and carefully marketed with exciting colors and captivating characters such as Toucan Sam, Lucky the Leprechaun, and the aforementioned Cap'n, not a captain. For those of you who have been with us since 2020, you may even recall Apple Jacks had a mascot itself, which was the subject of a prior cancellation, as the official spokes them, a dark-barked talking cinnamon stick with a Rastafarian beanie and dreadlocks and an offensively stereotypical Jamaican accent.
Here I come, I am cinnamon. Here I come, I am cinnamon. Here I come, I am cinnamon. Here I come, I am cinnamon.
Yes, that was their brand ambassador for 16 years. Now, it might be true that even with the steel drums, Jamaicans actually speak like this cinnamon character, but that's no reason to appropriate their dialect in this way. So Apple Jacks eventually sanitized cinnamon and put him in mascot jail. Surely we are all painfully aware of the similarly offensive appropriation of Irish culture made with Lucky the Leprechaun, featuring his stingy fixation on his gold, his infantilizing brogue accent, and his absurdly reductivist green leprechaun suit. About the only way they didn't insult the Irish was by having Lucky be a drunkard, which at least might have made him a more believable gold-defending rascal. But thinking about Lucky does bring up another concern, and I think it's time we address the tropical bird in the room, Toucan Sam. Now, certainly we recognize that Toucan Sam, and to a lesser degree Lucky, are ambassadors of our people. People of the holy acronym string, or as we like to say, rainbow folk. Sam with his beak and Lucky with his actual rainbow of frosted Lucky Charms that he says are, you know, magically delicious.
Frosted Lucky Charms!
They're magically delicious.
Well, other than a rainbow of fruit flavors, if a magically delicious leprechaun isn't code for being queer, I don't know what is. Nevertheless, having a pride bird and a pride miniature ginger is not enough in either case to save these cereals of color from our condemnation. And that's sort of the point. Here we see that removing these foods reinforces the basic premise of our religion, finding teeny tiny cultural issues whose significance we can over-exaggerate and then feel an inflated sense of pride at eradicating so that we can pat ourselves on the back. That's our thing, baby. So getting rid of four kinds of artificially colored sugar death treats for children while leaving the vast majority of harmful dietary options on the shelves is an almost textbook perfect virtue signal. Well done, Target. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's Hemp Tambourine Award Extra Patchouli Oil 3 Nose Rings goes to University of California at Santa Barbara Assistant Professor of Sociology Jamie O'Quinn. During a recent discussion on transgender athletes and women's sports at the State University Board of Trustees meeting, O'Quinn, a noted feminist scholar and rainbow rights activist, finally had enough of the transphobia and absurdity of the cisgender people she was disagreeing with and said this.
And the idea that I have to get up here and say that trans women are women and that's what I have to use my time to do is absurd. Shame on you. Shame on all of you. And shame on you for using lesbian politics as a front for your transphobia, because this lesbian has had plenty of girlfriends with penises.
Amen. And now you understand why we're giving her this award for correctly calling out the transphobia in the room. She may not get a lot of extra credit. That's a given for anyone who considers themselves a practitioner of holy acronym string orthodoxy. But it was that last line.
Because this lesbian has had plenty of girlfriends with penises.
To so boldly and bravely and matter-of-factly state the truth that's as plain as the bulge in her skirt, she's had plenty of girlfriends with penises. Not one, not two, but plenty. Yes, it's time to stop apologizing for the obvious truth that men can have vaginas and women can have penises, a core tenet of our faith that even we sometimes feel awkward to say out loud. But for some of you newer novitiates, perhaps a bit of an explanation is in order. You see, there are vagina people and there are penis people. But of course, this has absolutely nothing to do with being female or male, woman or man, feminine or masculine. Those are terms which are either self-chosen, culturally constructed, or even utterly meaningless, depending on the context. Let's consider just four of the most basic categories. Category one, a person with a vagina and XX chromosomes who identifies as a woman is, of course, a woman in a woman's body. Category two, a person with a vagina and XX chromosomes who identifies as a man is just as much, of course, a man, even though he has a woman's body. Because gender identity is a mind truth, not a body truth. He's a man in a woman's body. So simple. Category three, a person with a penis and XY chromosomes who identifies as a man is a man in a man's body. If you're following the pattern, he's also responsible for all the problems in the world, of course. And category four, a person with a penis and XY chromosomes who identifies as a woman is a woman. And truth be told, that's the very highest form of womanhood because it's chosen rather than inherited. This woman is a man's body and is really the bravest kind of woman because she had to emerge from this transphobic culture and overcome the oppression of her body to be revealed like the glorious phoenixress she is, rising from the ashes of post-colonial white male supremacy culture. We really love cisgender women, but we extra super duper really love transgender women for the fact that they have rejected their manhood, even if they kept it, and have embraced the feminine identity of our holy gender anarchy. Praise Gaia. These penis-born individuals should definitely not be held captive to the fact that they happen to have been born vagina deficient. So well done, you plain-talking lesbian assistant professor. You've earned every last one of your ceremonial nose rings this week. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
We have way too much fun. I'm watching Jonathan and John Peacock here, who are here for the rap, both try to decide whether they want to stay with the show or leave. David can't breathe. John Pickens is trying to figure out what he's going to do when I have to go to him for traffic on the fives. I don't know which part hit you better, the last section in the nose rings or the Toucan Sam and the...
I think the Lucky Charms guy is really...
What could be... What's more queer than that? I don't know. All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Home Outlet in Pensacola, where you'll find flooring for every budget. Big savings on your next home project. Good news. No accidents to report to you or delays, which is great news. Nothing to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Okay, but be half serious for a second. You know, one of the things I always worry about when doing the transgressors is I wind up teaching wokeism more clearly and effectively than anybody else probably can in making fun of it, because that's the heart of good satire. That whole business of woman in a man's body, man in a woman's body, woman, that's what transgenderism is, right? And that way of conceptualizing it is actually clarifying, right?
Yeah, clarified. I followed the pattern.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. You okay, David?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right, good. What do you got?
A federal judge is allowing a high-profile case against Nicolas Maduro to move forward. The court refused to dismiss drug trafficking charges in New York, rejecting arguments from Maduro's attorneys that he couldn't access funds for his defense. Maduro and his wife have both pleaded not guilty. In a separate ruling, a judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from banning Anthropic from federal work, saying the national security designation behind the move may not be lawful while the case plays out.
You mean a purely political retaliation against them for building an AI engine that is designed to not function for mass surveillance, or autonomous weapons, and then when the military tells them that they have to have it for that, contrary to their basic identity, and then when they won't, and the Secretary of War decides to, and the administration tries to punish them for that by basically making them a non-entity, and they won't do business. The judge said that's inappropriate.
I know, ain't that a shocker?
Weird.
And Savannah Guthrie says she's getting ready to return to NBC's Today Show early next month. She'll be back April 6th. Of course, she's been off the air since her mother disappeared in February.
All right, David. Thank you so much for the update. Man. All I can say is this. I'm watching basketball. Basketball was great yesterday. Illini win 3 of the first 4 teams into the Elite Eight or in the Big Ten. That's weird. And go Cardinals. 7-run comeback. Woohoo! Actually, 8-run.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. One way or another, TSA workers will be getting paid to curb the airport chaos because right after President Trump said, I'm going to do it, pay the workers by emergency executive order, the Senate finally passed Homeland Security funding at 2 in the morning without ICE and Border Patrol funding. Senate Leader John Thune.
Republicans funded the Department of Homeland Security piecemeal. It's not the way to fund the department, Mr. President. But we are out of time.
Democrats also didn't get the ICE reforms they held up workers' paychecks for. The House has to vote to finalize funding today. And President Trump gives Iran negotiators an extension on the deadline to make a deal, or else telling the 5 on Fox.
They asked for 7. You're going to say, oh, Trump's a terrible negotiator. They asked for 7. And I said, I'm going to give you 10.
The extension takes us past Easter to April 6th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 62 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies. We'll get a full check on our forecast. That's up here in just a few minutes. 12 children battling or surviving pediatric cancer took stage this week at the Brownsville Community Center, walking the runway alongside local celebrities as part of a Rally Gulf Coast fundraiser. Founder Cindy Bonner says the moment meant a lot to all of the kids that were involved.
It shows 500 people on their feet applauding these kids, and that's what a child understands, is that they really are here for me, and I am shining on this stage.
The event raised $729,000 for pediatric cancer research, a field Bonner says is critically underfunded. Rally Gulf Coast says 93 cents of every dollar raised will go directly to its research mission. Busy day yesterday for Pensacola police. First, a suspicious package prompted evacuations near Pensacola State College. Suspicious package actually turned out to contain a device that simulated dynamite. It's believed to be some type of a training material used by law enforcement or military. EOD was called to the scene. They ultimately gave the all clear on that around 5 o'clock last night. The package resulted in the WSRE building and some nearby structures being evacuated while it was examined. PPD said there was no threat to the public, but they are investigating how that ended up there and whether it was accidental or not. Also yesterday, an officer-involved shooting downtown. 36-year-old Dylan Whiting is facing charges for grabbing an officer's firearm during a struggle, resisting with violence, and battery on a law enforcement officer. Police say an officer was at the Starbucks on Gregory when an employee alerted him to Whiting, who had outstanding felony warrants. When the officer attempted to arrest him, a fight broke out and shots were fired. Police say they are still investigating whether the officer or Whiting fired the gun as they were struggling for control of it at the time. Nobody was hit. Pensacola police also making a quick arrest after a necklace was snatched off a woman's neck near Dillard's last week. Police say a victim had called immediately after the theft. Patrol units that were in the area were able to track down a suspect vehicle, recover the necklace, and make an arrest. PPD crediting the victim's quick call for making that recovery possible. A dispute over a $1,000 payment to Booker T. Washington state champion girls basketball team is pushing Escambia County towards a broader legal question. Commissioner Lumen May asked the county attorney to pursue an attorney general opinion on whether community support fund payments to school programs are legally permissible and whether a decade's worth of those payments already having been made was appropriate.
Give me something. Give me a precedent. Because you can't tell me that we've done something for 15 years, then all of a sudden we wake up one day and then it's wrong. Well, I mean, that's wrong. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, and so that's my point. And maybe it's not right. But we did it for 15 years. And we spend more on travel with people in your department than $1,000 for 20 girls to go to Jacksonville.
And May made clear that the outcome of that opinion would apply equally to all county high schools, saying Booker T. Washington won't be singled out. While similar payments were made to other programs, Clerk and Comptroller Childers did not change her position during that dispute yesterday. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got her traffic on the fives.
Sorry, brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Still rolling accident-free right now and also delay-free. Highway 29, 90, I-10, I-110, they all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day, mostly sunny skies today, high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For Saturday, sunny skies, high near 75. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 58. Looking at the sunshine again on Sunday with a high near 71 degrees. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 63. And going into Monday, mostly sunny skies, high near 73. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 62 degrees right now with cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And taking a look at our opening markets here. The Dow is down just under 1%, 423 points at 45,537 this morning. S&P opening down just over 0.75%, down 53.75 points. At 64.2345, the NASDAQ down just over 1% as well this morning at 21,183 and a quarter points. Looking at the 10-year bond rate, up a bit, 4.46%. Gold prices up 43.50 at 44.1980. Silver up 6 cents at 68 even. Bitcoin down just over 2,200 today, 66,260, and that oil price up 235 today, 96.80 a barrel. Your next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume, you need better questions.
Better questions.
Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk.
Lets them talk.
Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headlines. Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
I said a hip hop, the hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance for me to talk with some friends here in the studio about the news of the week. And this, apparently I know too many people with the first name of Jonathan. It's always an issue. And Jays, I got Josh Newby, I got Jeremy Evans, I got Jonathan Owens, I got John Peacock here in studio with me. What, John Pickens?
I just wanted to raise my hand because that was another John. Come on, man.
The Jays have it.
That's right.
So, let's, I did not watch the meeting yesterday yet. I haven't watched any of the meetings yet yesterday. Too much other stuff going on, but I will by Monday. We'll have, we'll talk about the all the stuff. But you were at the meeting for the Escambia County Committee. Actually, you were in Santa Rosa at a planning meeting, and then you went to Escambia County.
No, Escambia in the morning, you're starting to, Santa Rosa in the afternoon.
Am I rubbing off on you? You can't get too many public meetings. It's so thrilling.
Such a stark difference between Santa Rosa and Escambia County.
Yeah, that's true. Care to elaborate? Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, the TDC visit, Pam Childers, and now not paying for the team to go do the thing with the money that Lumen gave him or whatever. Like, I've said that, look, I know Pam, and I don't bet against Pam. And if Pam's got reasons, they're reasons. And they seem to bet against Pam and then get wrong or get sued and lose or have to pay. I mean, the county keeps losing every single lawsuit that it loses. I don't understand why they keep thinking that they're in the right about stuff. But
the most entitled are often the most offended, you know, so you get used to having it your way.
Yeah.
Like Burger King or whatever.
We've always gotten the money, so we're always entitled to get the money, and nobody's ever raised a question before, so how dare you raise a question now? Isn't that kind of what it...
Yeah. I mean, and again, what you said about Pam, I wouldn't bet against her. She's won pretty handily just about every time.
And, you know, the optics of it, of course, look bad for her. Because they're framing it as she looks bad for denying these kids. Why don't you want to help these, these challenged black kids, right? Yep. But that's, and I mean, I like to think a lot of voters are smarter than that, you know? Maybe they're not, but I like to think they are.
Well, the great thing about Pam is she's elected by the whole county.
Right.
Versus, so, you know, that, I think accountability is really important, right? It's easy for a commissioner. I'm not a big fan of discretionary money, period.
Same.
For those kind of things that kind of seem more like, hey, help me, I'll help you. You help me later on down the road. I think money for those kind of things, we have more need than helping the cheerleader. Parents should do that. Donors should do that. I don't think that's the role of government to help.
And if you go on social media with that, the community will pay twice as much as you need.
Right.
In this area, for sure.
Yeah. We raised a bunch of money for Washington softball, girls softball team at one point because there was another issue, but raised a bunch of money and the community came out and did that. So I think the community will support that if it's necessary. Government's job shouldn't be to do that.
And I think, you know, Jonathan made the point, I think you were the one that made the point about the squealing the loudest. Well, you know, I mean, Lumen likes to give out this money. So do other commissioners. They like to give out this money. It makes them feel important. It makes them feel like they're doing a good thing. They are usually doing a good thing.
Our money.
The people, right. And the people receiving it like it. I mean, I get why they're very attached to it. It's a very powerful, but not particularly high dollar value favor that you can dole out and feel like you're winning. And all of a sudden that tool in their toolbox for popularity gets taken away or gets challenged. Show the public benefit to this thing. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I get that doesn't make it right, but I get why they'd be upset about challenging it.
They get paid two and a half times the median income in Escambia County. They can write their own check, and it's a part-time job, so they can write their own check. They don't need to use taxpayer money to do
100% agree with you, John.
And you wouldn't have these issues. You wouldn't have these concerns, these questions. I think they would also say, but you would also not have the ability to solve these needs.
Write your own check.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of been, that's been Pam's. Basically, she said that is, if you want to do a good thing for this team, we'll write the check. Yeah. And if somebody else wants to, they can write the check too, right?
There's bigger needs in this community than, so, listen, I think it's great to want to celebrate the ladies' softball, but there's food deserts in this community. There are people in desperate need. Mm-hmm. That's where that money should go, right, through the legislative process.
I'm going to do what I've been trained to do. I'm going to play devil's advocate one time. Ready? Okay. So it's $50,000 per commissioner per year. It's $250,000 a year. Yeah. In the scheme of the Escambia County budget, that's pretty small. So this doesn't solve a lot of big issues. I mean, how many 100 feet of sidewalk can you buy for that, right? Not much. So as a philosophical matter, as a political corruption-ish sort of matter, I completely agree. But as far as the real fiscal significance of that volume of money, it's not that much.
I've heard,
right?
Congress say the same thing. It was just $1 million here, $1 million there. In a big scheme of things, it's just $1 million, right? My point is, it's a principle thing, right? Let's let government do what government's intended to do, not take care of charities per se. Let's take care of the major governmental issues and let the people decide what they want to support.
What about the larger amounts, like the partner agencies? This comes up quite a bit, and that's a little bit more substantial amount of money when you're talking about all these local agencies that do get funding from the county. And there is very much a part of me that says, that is also inappropriate use of money. On the other hand, that's preventing problems that would otherwise cost us more, and I can see the argument for it.
There's a difference there, right? I mean, not celebrating
those are measurable.
Right.
Fair enough.
The benefit
exactly.
is measurable.
Great point.
John and I both worked, all of us have worked in the private sector. Have you ever had an expense account?
Yeah.
And when you turn in your expense report, things get denied?
Yeah.
Big why? Accountability, right? Well, that's not in the parameters. And the fact that they're going to go to the state and ask the AG for an opinion on this, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
Because that AG opinion may come back and say, guys, you've been doing it wrong for a very long time.
So I didn't watch the meeting. Is that what they said they're going to ask Uthmeyer?
Yeah. They're looking for an opinion on whether she can restrict this or not.
Okay. I'm going to overstate this probably, but have they not picked up a newspaper in the last 6 months? The state is already emphatic about eliminating local government and their power to have any kind of financial choices. They hate discretionary spending. They hate all of this stuff. They call it the fraud and waste. They call it the dojing. Like, Uthmeyer's opinion on this is going to be, you've been doing what for 15 years? And, I mean, I rarely agree with him, but that's going to be his opinion. You ask him, he's going to say no. He's going to say Pam was not even being hard enough.
Don't ask questions you don't want to hear the answer to.
Oh, that is a terrible misread of our state government right now. They're eager to, Blazingolia, the CFO, they're eager to find ways to tell local government that they're abusing their privileges and power.
And make an example out of them. Look,
oh my God.
Guys ask us if they could continue.
Escambia County should be happy they didn't make the initial Doge pass. You know, City of Pensacola got their treatment and they ignored Escambia County. They're begging for them. Oh, sure, come look at us.
I think it's great. But, you know, all fair to City of Pensacola got slapped for the sign.
Stupid
guess who things. Paid? Guess who paid for the sign?
Right,
the
F-dot.
State.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
It's 8:45 here on News Radio 92.3. John Peacock, Jonathan Owens are with me in studio for the wrap. Another John.
I know, right?
An equal or even more important John.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. Oh,
makes me feel special. All right, no accidents for you right now, nor delays. I'm seeing traffic flowing smoothly everywhere. I-10, I-110, 90, 29, 98, all look good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, last little quick thing on this before we move on. Darren Schaefer, not renewed. I'd said that I haven't disclosed a lot of the things that I learned when sitting down with Pam for about an hour and a half to look at the whole issue of what Visit's doing. I'm not surprised by this based on what I learned. They've been very diplomatic in public. Nobody wants to air their dirty laundry, but the clerk's office reimburses over 200 agencies a week is what I was told. And Visit's the one they have trouble with repeatedly, lots of issues. The fact that they're making a change doesn't surprise me at all. Frankly, and I like Darren. It's not an issue, and I know he's done a lot of really good things, as Sterling said. But Sterling Gilliam, the chairman of the board. But once I saw all that, it just didn't surprise me in the least. So
I think I think it's great that Pam's doing that. I don't know the details. Don't really want to know the details. But it's all about accountability, right? I'm upset about what's going on at Visit Pensacola or Florida West, which is our economic development arm, how do I, as a voter, change that? I can't. Because they've outsourced all these things, right? So we'll get to that topic next, I hope. But the point is, every voter should be able to affect change with their vote. And we can't do that in Escambia County. We can do it in the city, can do it at the state, can do it at the federal level. We can't do that in Escambia County, except for things like Pam. Pam has voted on
countywide.
So they are essentially the executive branch of that branch government, if you will, the clerk's office, the sheriff's office, et cetera. We don't have that in the county. That's why you can't see it on the radio, but the Pensacola coat of arms is this, where you cross your arms and point to somebody else's problem. It's all diluted in our current form of government. So I applaud Pam as the watchdog, if you will, of our county finances.
Absolutely, yeah.
And because we have no recourse. And if we're upset with what Pam's doing, we as a voter get to change that.
Right.
I'm not, by the way, just for the record.
We can, as an entity, an entirety, the county can look at what, for example, Pam or Chip or, Scott or, whatever, what they're doing. And we can say, yay or nay.
Yeah.
And I know, John, this is a passionate issue for you. I think it comes up every time we talk, which is fine because it's an important issue. But you had wanted to talk about Chip Simmons.
Yeah.
Which I think he was kind of making an offhand comment. Nope. I
saw him last night at the rally event, which was amazing, by the way. Shout out to Rally On.
Good.
Foundation raised a bunch of money for kids with cancer. So he said, quote, our community will never move forward without a change of government, change in the form of government.
Mm-hmm. And for people who are kind of new to this conversation, the county administrator is appointed by the Board of County Commissioners or hired by the Board of County Commissioners. And then the county administrator does all the other hiring except for the attorney and oversees everybody on staff, everybody except for, the county attorney.
And the theory behind that, Andrew, is it's supposed to be a CEO board of directors type of government where the CEO is the kind of the executive director or executive branch and the county commissioners are the legislative branch. That's not how it works, though. Each commissioner thinks they're their own little fiefdom and run in their own little county. So it's not effective. And more importantly, because we vote single member districts, we can't affect change like we could in other places. If I'm upset with Governor DeSantis, and if he was running again, I get to vote for somebody else. If I'm upset with Mayor D.C. Reeves, I get to vote for somebody else, right? And affect change, and there's a platform, there's accountability. We don't have that in the county. Again, as I told Jonathan earlier, we both are in District 2. If Mike Kohler was the greatest commissioner in the world, he could do all the things he wanted to, but three other people get to do things that we're not happy with, and we get no say-so in that.
That's almost un-American. Right, which has been the truth of the county commission until very recently.
And that's by design. Right. There's all this smoke and mirrors. Right. So You know, look what happened.
And if
the
you
city.
Don't like, and if you don't like Wes, okay, Wes doesn't work for John Peacock. Right. Wes works for five commissioners.
Right.
Three commissioners.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Right. He's Wes works at the direction of three commissioners. Time. Right. Which, no, that's not a knock on Wes. That's just the reality of the situation.
Right.
And because of the structure of it, he's not accountable to John or Jonathan or Andrew. He's accountable to whoever three he's pleased, you know, who's he's doing, and hopefully five, but still whatever three, right?
Right. And if you look at the quality of life surveys that come out, one of the top items is always economy, jobs, those kind of things. How do I affect that change in the county? Never. He can't, because they've outsourced it to Florida West. I can't hold Florida West accountable. I can hold Mike Kohler accountable as my commissioner, but I can't do anything. So
one-fifth of responsibility.
Right.
Right.
So it's a horrific form of government that everybody says, oh, it's supposed to avoid corruption. Good luck with that. How's that worked out for everybody? Right. We put people in jail, you know, 20-something years ago.
So John's argument has long been we need to have an elected county administrator, like we used to have for the superintendent,
right.
Because
like
we need
we
have to
have city.
Somebody who represents the whole or the mayor. Because mm-hmm. Right now we have is five mayors. You know, each one of these right. five people is basically like a mayor who needs the collaboration of two other mayors to get anything done. But still, and they're the only ones. And, you know, I have no ability to affect District 2 or District 1 or 4 or 5.
Or the county as a whole.
Or the whole, because I can only vote from District 3. Aside from all of the single district race stuff, this is a whole different question, which is that issue of affecting the whole. You've worked, obviously, in county government. You've been very closely connected to it. Your thoughts on having an elected as opposed to an appointed county administrator?
I think it's a great discussion to have because we haven't had it, you know, publicly. I would love to see the commissioner that's currently chairman, Commissioner Hoffberger, mm-hmm. put that as a committee of the whole item.
Talk about it.
Let's have a committee of the whole item about having an elected. I mean, they're talking about bringing an elected superintendent back. Let's have a committee of the whole item to have bring in an elected county administrator.
I think Ashley too much to have her do, because I'm with you. It'd be great, but can you see what like Stephen and Lumen would do?
You don't need them
with that.
You don't. Need
you
them.
Don't. You, if you've got Stephen Stroberger and you've got Mike Kohler on your side, maybe you can make the. You can at least put it on the ballot.
So about 15, 16 years ago, we actually got through the county commissioner time, then the state legislator consolidation committee, and there's 25 of us served for well over a year.
Okay.
Former Supreme Court Justice Ken Bell was the chair, put together a consolidation plan, which would have ended up similar to Jacksonville, meaning one government.
County and city is all the same.
Yeah, and elected executive branch.
With 19 commissioners.
Well, you don't have to be there, right? And that's all based on population, right?
Right.
But the point is, you got an executive branch, legislative branch, just like the federal government and the state. I love when people say, I don't understand how that works. It's clear that they never watched Schoolhouse Rocks as a kid. It's an executive branch, legislative branch.
There's a lot of people who don't know how this stuff works.
My kids watch it.
It's very simple, right? We have the executive branch, which leads things accountable to the whole. Then you have a legislative branch. And it's a pretty simple concept, and it works. Look in the city. I mean, we've made tremendous progress from Mayor Ashton Hayward through Grover Robertson, now through D.C. Reeves. You know, State of the Union or State of the City address, all those things kind of promote accountability to the citizens, right? When's the last time you heard Wes or anybody else do a State of the County address? Never.
Yeah, I mean, the closest is that Wes will come on my show,
right.
You know.
And when that's only your audience.
Right.
Well, but that's right. The people who listen to me, and that's not really much of anything
but
else.
But as you mentioned,
right?
I'm not upset with Wes, right? But if
right,
I was,
same.
I can't affect change there. And we should be able to affect change with our vote. That's our God-given right. Our votes count, but they don't matter. Right?
Because they don't have influence outside of your district. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
No, and I'm with you, John. That, you know, Jonathan, I'd love to see just have the discussion.
Right.
You know, I mean, make it it could be a committee of the whole.
Let's see how passionate the community would be to show up for that.
Well, there's easy thing.
I mean,
to
if they show up, if you got a whole bunch of yellow shirts that are show up for the customary use.
Customary use, right.
I bet you'd have some, I don't know, whatever flavor Royal Navy blue shirts show up for an elected county administrator.
Well, it'd
I mean,
be especially interesting in this year, since we're already having the vote about an elected versus an appointed superintendent, it would be especially interesting to have the, because if that conversation is worth having and if that change back is worth considering,
why not for an administrator?
Why don't we run that across? Why don't we have that as a parallel system? Because you really can't make the argument that we should have an elected superintendent and not make the argument that we ought to have an elected county administrator, or vice versa, that we should have an appointed county administrator and not have an appointed superintendent, because the structure of the government is the same.
Right. The best thing Chair Hoffberger could do is actually just form a committee. form a commission to say, let's look at it all. And they can take a 6 months, a year, whatever it is, have a committee appointed by all the folks, the county commissioners, and get all the people just similar to the consolidation thing and come back with a recommendation that would eventually go to the states and then eventually go to the voters to approve. That's the right way to do things. Let's have a discussion, just like they do with the school board, et cetera. There is a need for accountability in our community. Again, Chip said it, we're never going to move forward unless we have somebody in charge.
And by, that was his point. Yeah. And
he wasn't lobbying, by the way, for that role. He just said, if I was going to do something else, and that's the point. When I went down,
we've not said it, and I think we ought to make sure and say for people who did not read. Several weeks ago, Chip basically said, he was asked, would you ever do anything other than be sheriff? And he said, the only other job in politics I might consider is if we had an elected county administrator, I would consider that. That's what kind of got this started.
Right.
You've been talking about this for a long time, but that's kind of what got started from Chip's point of view.
Even Grover, who was kind of, all for the current form of government in the county, when he went to the city, he saw the benefit of that. And he said, when some folks tried to change that back, he said, no, we have to have somebody in charge. So even Grover understood that. You know, when I went, the reason why we have a strong
mayor. Actually, can you hang on for just a second? Let's get last traffic from John.
Okay. That's right. No accidents or delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I do want to ask, I know you want to have some other stuff, John, but I want to ask this question, which is the three of us are political wonks. We are super way inside all of this. We pay all the attention. We actually watch the meetings. We care. We know these people. Okay. What percentage of the broader community would actually care about this enough to make it an issue? Weirdly, on the one hand, I get that people have really strong opinions about the superintendent. I do not hear that same level of passion about this issue, or not yet. Do you honestly believe this is clear enough to enough people that you could make it a popular topic of conversation?
It's an educational thing, right? People don't know there's a difference.
Sure.
Right? People don't understand there's a different way to do government. We're one of the only county that votes this way, right? So, and we shouldn't also be one of the poorest counties in Florida.
Well, Santa Rosa County does. Single member districts. Yes,
I think we're the only county that does that. So, the reason why we have a strong mayor in the city is because I went back to Charleston, who I served in the Navy there, and I realized, oh my gosh, why is Charleston so much better than we are? Because we have better beaches, just as much history, et cetera. But they had a strong mayor for 40 years, by the way, Joe Riley, and I brought that concept back here, and it was a huge lift. Everybody told me it wasn't going to happen, but it passed 52-48, which is a pretty big margin.
All the charter change did for the strong mayor was 52-48?
Which is a pretty big total change in...
Yeah, I didn't know it was that close. I wasn't here at the time, obviously.
That was the first...
Jonathan, I know...
And it took a lot of...
Education.
Education, and education costs money. You've got to be able to have... there's three-legged stool of politics, right? People, money, and name recognition. You've got to have more of two if you don't have the one. And from a name recognition standpoint, you're not going to have someone that's going to, run for county administrator until you have the ability to do it. So it's going to take a lot of people and a lot of money to get the message out there to educate that there is an option to make this happen. We just have to go through the process to get there.
And that's why I like that Committee of the Whole concept, because that's a starter.
Right.
That's a create awareness. Obviously, I would cover that. Channel 3 P&J would cover that. Start to getting people thinking about this stuff, which is interesting. Somebody says Brevard County is also single member voting districts, maybe. And there may be a couple of ones that are.
It's funny you mentioned.
It's definitely not the norm.
It's funny you mentioned somebody said to me about who. Well, who would be that mayor? I'm like, whoever we freaking elect.
Right.
That's the point.
It could be Chip. It could be Pam. It could be anybody. Who knows? Someone might run.
And I think when I asked Joe Riley why he would have been mayor, or Tom Murphy from Pittsburgh, who was a very successful mayor in Pittsburgh, would they have taken that role? Or even D.C. or Ashton, would have taken that role without it being an executive branch? Hell no.
Right.
Nobody
juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Right. Nobody
wants to have to be the servant of the commissioners rather than the person to make the kind of executive you want.
Right.
Would never want to be the executive under that circumstance.
Absolutely.
And I see that, because the one you want is the one who will take charge, will make decisions, wants that, believes in themselves, and is
capable
of doing it.
And willing to take the arrows
and take the criticism and the jabs and everything else. And I think that's fair.
I mean, look at D.C. with the city police chief. He didn't take the popular decision.
Right.
He did one. And he'll be held accountable for that in November, whether people agree or disagree. Again, I'm not.
Right,
that's
right.
Not a
we'll
opinion there, but that we don't have that option. And, look at the library thing. If I'm upset about that, I have no say-so in that.
Right. You can complain. You can post on social media. Right. You can speak on the radio or publish a blog piece, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
Not really. That doesn't really matter. Well, good stuff. Really interesting. I appreciate it. Either you guys watch opening day yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Phillies. Go Phils.
Did they win?
Yeah.
I know the Cardinals came back big, and Jonathan, you're not a sports guy. Well, water sports.
What? Yeah, not yet.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Will day 42 of the Homeland Security funding stalemate be the last one? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. About 2 o'clock this morning, the Senate, by unanimous consent, approved